this is Scott.
This is Pat. On today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about how do you know if your advisor is really working in your best interest or in their best interest. We're also going to take some phone calls with questions like, do I roll over my company 401k and how big will the tax hit be on this inheritance?
Plus, we have an interesting guest interview, Jane Wells from CNBC. She starts by sharing stories of others, but her own story about retirement I found was more interesting. You're going to really enjoy the interview.
Answering your top financial questions with a little humor and a lot of fun. It's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are here with us today, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays with people like yourself helping them get accomplish their life
comfortable
goals.
Make sure they're comfortable going into retirement, yeah, or how to stay in retirement and hopefully live a happy, fulfilling lifestyle.
Yeah, we're here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air.
And so whether you have an advisor already or you're looking for a second opinion, please join us.
That's right. And frankly, having good quality financial advice around retirement is important. There, some of the mistakes, if you make mistakes when you're 25 or 30, you can typically recover from them.
Yes.
If you make mistakes at 55, 60, 65.
Let's just hope they're small ones in terms of the dollar amounts.
Because sometimes they're very difficult to recover from.
Yes. So
and
let's talk
about
that.
It seems like a lot of times people come. Some of the greatest value, I think, I'll just speak for us as a firm, Hanson McLean Advisors. Some of the greatest value that we provide is keeping people from making mistakes that they wouldn't recover from. They don't always see the danger.
Well, it's
they
hard.
Don't see the danger with some of the things that they want to do.
Correct. It's hard. It's hard to control the two emotions that everyone has, which is greed and fear. Those are hard emotions for people to get their hand. Whether they want to recognize that we all own those or not, whether you want to recognize that, we all have a degree of greed and fear. Greed oftentimes presents
itself. Maybe greed's the wrong word there, but I kind of. We want more.
Yeah. Why? Because greed is.
Is that necessarily greedy? I mean, Evan points to the corporate CEO, says they're greedy, but the guy who wants to pay raise from one place to another, they're not greedy. It's all different levels
of greed.
Well, the guy living in the hut probably thinking, why are they greedy wanting to raise the minimum wage from $10 to $15 an hour? I'd love to. So what I'm just saying term greed.
Okay, but we all have a form of desire for more.
That's correct.
And the problem is that in certain climates with asset prices going up further and further and faster, we all get people have the tendency to get the impression that there's no risk in it.
In the financial markets, people have a difficult time truly evaluating what the risk is. What the risk is and how that can impact them and their life.
There right? you go.
That's exactly what it is. So people want to make some decisions, some choices. Oh, I would like to do this or increase more here. Or why don't I just put more into the market?
Or why don't I buy a bunch of rentals? They're doing well.
Or whatever.
Why don't I buy some more stock mutual funds? They're doing well. Every investment did something. It's not necessarily doing anything right now.
That's right. Anyway. We can go on and on.
We will. If you'd like to join the show, 888-2-HANSON.
Yeah, any calls regarding anything financial?
Oh, 888-2-HANSON.
Anything that is on your mind when it comes to money. It might be your retirement, might be investment, might be real estate, taxes, insurances, whatever, estate planning issues. 888-2-HANSON. Numerically, that number is 888-242-6766. And we'd love to take your call. And let's start off. We're going to start off in Northern California talking with Dave. Dave, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Great. How you doing, Dave?
I have a question about my IRA. I've been with an advisor for about 10 years, same fellow. And I've got some cash in the account that I haven't invested because he's kind of conservative, and I'm thinking we ought to take that cash and invest it. And plus I have some cash in the bank that I want to do something with. He's suggesting an Oberheimer Steelpath MLP Income Fund or a J.P. Morgan Accelerated Barrier Note Linked Fund.
Holy
I don't know what either one of those mean.
Holy smokes. Well, we do.
Well, that's why I told you guys. We're talking about probably $150,000, $200,000 cash that I do something with it.
Why do you have that much in cash?
Well, long story.
Well, first,
I told you this guy that I was, the guy was, that I was with is conservative. Well, I'm concerned. I consider myself an aggressive investor, but I let him talk me into the fact that he thought the economy was going to crash last year. He says, Dave, you better keep some in cash. And so we have.
Yeah.
And
then, how old are you?
I'm an independent contractor. My business is going pretty good, and I've got some cash in that account.
How old are you?
So, I'm 70.
And
I'm still working. I love what I do, and I have no plans to retire. So don't be my wife and say, when are you going to retire?
Listen, if you're happy. So on this mutual fund, did they recommend to you, did they have the letter A, B, or C behind them? Do you know?
I don't think so. Nope. How's
he charging you? How did they charge you?
I'm paying a fixed fee. I think it's a 0.5% on the total value of the assets. I have an annuity that's got some value in it, and that I kept that separate.
Okay.
I didn't want to be in the annuity, but I got into it, and they told me I.
Here's what seems. Here's what's here. For, all right. So first of all. A couple of funds you mentioned. We're not big fans of Masters Limited Partnerships.
And not only are they Master Limited Partnerships, they're really, really expensive Master Limited Partnerships.
Yeah. Oh, so that's what I wanted to do. Is that a preloaded deal? When you get into it, you pay the fee up front?
We don't recommend those. So I've never recommended a Master Limited Partnership.
So what it sounds like in your situation, though, is that he's charging you a fee-based program.
But maybe he's still getting a commission.
But
here.
He might still be getting a commission on the backside.
Here's the odd thing about this. You're having this discussion on a couple individual funds. And usually when you hire an advisor, what the idea is, let's figure out what your overall objectives are, right? So Dave's 70, wants to continue to work. Well, what do we need these dollars for? Maybe Dave dies tomorrow and his wife needs retirement income from it or whatever those things are, right? And then
I still work for my grandkids' college. That's what I tell everybody.
Oh, perfect.
For my grandkids' college.
Perfect. Well, then that's what you do with the cash.
Have you set up any 529 plans?
Have you set up any 529 plans?
No, I haven't.
Dave.
Extra put in the IRA.
Yeah, Dave. So you've got a bunch of issues going on, and you actually don't have an advisor.
I don't. Okay.
You have someone that you discuss products with, but you don't have an advisor, because if you came into my office and you said, hey, Pat, hey, Scott, hey, any of our other 17 advisors, I work for my kids' college education. The first thing we would probably start talking about is how old are the kids? How old are the grandkids? And what is the most tax efficient way to get dollars in there? And what is the least expensive way? And we'd probably land on the Vanguard plan or the state of California plan. You called and asked about product, and you're a contractor, correct?
Most
contractors aren't product driven, they're solution driven.
Yeah, right.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Try to solve customer problems.
What do you build as a contractor?
I said I'm an independent contractor, but I'm an independent manufacturer representative, so I sell things.
You're a multi-lines broker.
Exactly.
Got it.
I don't buy and resell. I'm a representative. I'm paid a commission.
Got it. Perfect.
Make sure your clients end up with the right product at the right time for the right reason.
Exactly. You got it.
Perfect. So just even your portfolio as a whole... what it really should come down to is, what is Dave trying to accomplish? Let's just talk about your IRA for a minute. With Dave's IRA, and you've got required minimum distributions. Do you have your own business?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a California S corporation. I used to be a C corp, but I changed this year because my tax accountant told me
Because you might have, you might be able to use a solo K and defer taking required minimum distributions for another 5 years.
Yeah, until he's 74.
So the first thing is, let's figure out what the objective is with the IRA.
I don't. I think he might have to take required minimum distributions.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things to look at.
I'm doing it now. I'm taking out.
But if you had a 401, if you had a 401k, you can defer to age 75.
Yeah, right.
The second thing is, what's the, how much ups and downs, how much risk does Dave want to take with these dollars? You said you're conservative. All right, what does that really mean? Let's try to quantify that. And then from there, a portfolio is constructed with those two objectives in mind. So when you end up having to talk about a product, trying to fit some investment product into extra cash, it sounds like someone that's just got a bunch of products that trying to, it no, just,
well, see, it sounds worse than that, Scott.
My philosophy, I've always tried to invest in stocks. My best customer is Lam Research. I should have bought their stock 10 years ago. Instead, I bought it a year ago. And in the last year, it's gone from like $80 to $130. And if I had bought it 10 years ago, I could have bought it for probably 30.
No, I know. But, you know, that history is all behind us. I could have been a brain surgeon had I not missed that first day of medical school. But then.
So, yeah, right. So what you really need to do is actually go and meet with a qualified fiduciary who is an advisor that has the educational background.
Certified financial planner.
Actually, where are you located? You're in the Sacramento area? Or?
I'm in Roseville. I live in Roseville. I have an office in Rockville.
I'm going to promote our... we have a workshop at the Granite Bay Country Club.
You should just come talk
about
our advisors, frankly. But I normally don't like... You know, it's funny. I'm going to be real transparent here for a moment. So before our radio program today, Pat and I, we always have a little planning planning time to talk about it. And one of the challenges, here's what Pat said to me. He says, here's the thing I struggle with on the air. We tell people to go see a quality financial advisor. He says, there's some good ones out there, but there's some lousy ones. And then Pat brought up there's somebody in Northern California region. Pretends like he's a great financial advisor, and all he does is sell equity index annuities to people.
Correct.
Crams them down the throat. So, he was actually kicked out of the industry for 5 years.
But the average consumer can't tell the difference.
So we're having this conversation, and Matt says, we should just tell him to come talk to one of our advisors, and we know they're not going to get taken advantage of.
We know that they're going to get taken. But anyway, come and see us.
But I don't. We don't want to be self-serving.
Well, Scott. How much longer are we going to go on actually telling them to go see an advisor and then they end up at some idiot's office where he or she is just cramming a high cost product down their throat?
So you just opened an office in Roseville last year sometime, I believe.
Oh, we've had one there 10 years, but we have you drive by that one that's got,
we moved.
It's got that huge sign on it. That's what you see now. No, it's just a little monument to ourselves.
All right, guys. Hey, thanks for the advice. I'll call Roseville. I think you work out of your Sacramento place.
Yeah, that's correct. All right. All right.
Thanks,
appreciate
it. We don't want to listen any more about us.
Thanks.
So,
thanks for the advice.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
So, hey, 1-888-2 Hanson if you want to be a caller here in the program. So, here's what to look for. We're going to segue super quick on this. For a quality financial advisor, you want to find here's some things to look for. First of all, we all know the education stuff, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time education or credential, certified financial planner. But
you could actually look at where they went to college and what they studied. That's relevant.
Absolutely.
Or that they went to college or that they did study.
That's right.
Relevant.
You can also go to just Google BrokerCheck. BrokerCheck.com.
Or
just
Bing it. Or go to Bing and...
Oh, come on. Bing's anything. BrokerCheck. Is that comedy? I don't know what that is. Bing. Go to broker. Just Google broker check. You can enter the advisor's name or broker's name. It'll give you at least some background, what licenses they've had, if there's been any disciplinary issues.
Which is what you're very interested in.
Like there's this other individual in Northern California who markets through media, was kicked out of the industry for 5 years. You will find that if you go to broker check. So do that. But also, you want someone who's a fee-based advisor, not somebody who earns commission selling product. Ask your advisor, will you receive a commission based upon any transaction?
When they bring up a limited partnership, a non-traded REIT, or an indexed annuity,
you know,
get very, very afraid.
Further, you want to invest in portfolios that can be liquidated and turned to cash tomorrow. You want to have a liquid, transparent portfolio, one that prices every day. As an example, our clients at Hanson McLean, most of those accounts are held at either TD Ameritrade or Fidelity or Charles Schwab, third-party custodian. Any client can look at any day, see, here's what I have. I have X shares of this or whatever. It's exactly what
they
own.
This is what it's worth.
What it's worth, and it can be turned to cash any day. So you can fire your advisor and take cash with you at any time. What that does is puts you and the advisor on the same side of the table. Because if the advisor is responsible for managing that portfolio on a regular basis, which is what you want, the advisor is going to be monitoring your portfolio, managing it for you, and not going to be selling you stuff that has a commission that is that they receive up front.
That they're not driven by their economic needs above yours.
Yeah. And that's why just you scratch your head, don't like the poor guy, because he's got the advisor had him sit in cash because the advisor thought he was time in the market.
Mm-hmm.
So had him more in cash instead of finding a solution for him. And then
recommended two
like other ends of the extreme, massive limited partnerships. They're tied highly to oil. When oil prices fell, those things just tanked.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They use some leverage in many of them, and they're hard to price when they do price, and they're expensive.
Some of them have some additional tax ramifications for IRAs.
Inside of IRAs. I don't know if that worked in the they didn't call it phantom.
I can only imagine the expense ratio in that mutual fund.
Because right?
It sounds like they're taking a master limited partnership concept and
putting it inside of
an open-ended mutual fund. Yeah, it probably doesn't work so good. All right. 1-888-2 Hanson to be part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Hey, real quick, before we get the calls, we've got some workshops coming up. We're not going to... Look, here's the thing. If you're close to retirement and you're wondering, do I have enough money?
Is this
enough money to last me the rest of my life? How much money do I really need?
Here's what you're going to learn at our workshops. You're going to learn exactly how much money you need in retirement. You will learn exactly how much money you need in retirement. We'll show you actually even how to figure it out yourself.
A simple way to how much income do I need to replace.
And then we're going to let you know where exactly where that income is going to come from and whether you're going to have enough or not. So first of all, we're going to tell you exactly how much money you need in retirement. And then where are you going to get that income? And where it's going to come from. And on the surveys from the last year of doing surveys, 99% of all people that attended the workshop said that they learned something that helped them in retirement. And over 95% of the people that attended ranked the workshop as good or outstanding. Now, in all fairness, Scott does some of these. I do some of these. Some of the other advisors do it. So my rankings were brought down a little bit by the others.
Yeah, right. Anyway, they're helpful. In the Sacramento region, the week of May 9th, the Bay Area region, the week of May 16th, four locations throughout the Bay, and throughout Denver, the week of May 16th, four events throughout Denver, Colorado Springs, Cherry Creek, Broomfield, Highlands Ranch. So
you'll learn exactly how much money you'll need in retirement and where it's going to come from.
Go to HansonMcLean.com. And you'll get more information on the workshops. But you really, we do these periodically. I think this is actually the third round we've done this year. And the reason we keep doing them is because they keep being popular. We've had thousands of people attend these workshops.
They attend them. And you get Scott's book.
Yeah, you get a free copy of my book.
Huh? Good book.
Huh? How's that?
Yeah, huh?
And a cup of coffee.
Wake the kids, call the neighbors.
And a cup of coffee. We don't feed you.
Sanka.
We don't. Sanka. Folgers, crystals. They still sell Folgers?
You know, I just.
The big cans.
Yeah, that's probably not so much. I haven't.
Wonder how that company.
I don't drink coffee much, though. Although I had
kidding?
A cup of decaf coffee this morning.
Decaf?
That's all I can drink.
I think coffee is one of the great gifts from God.
Well, listen, if you saw me drink two cups of coffee, you wouldn't call it a gift at all.
If you saw me without two cups of coffee, you would understand.
Barely control me.
All right. 888-2 Hanson.
Energy without the coffee. You give me a cup of coffee, it's over.
Hurricane McLean.
It's done.
All right. Let's head to Castle Rock, Colorado. Talk with Susan. Susan, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. How are you?
We're wonderful. How are you, Susan?
I'm good. Thank you. My question is, I've worked for this company for just turned 5 years, five-year anniversary, and just before the fifth-year anniversary, my company was purchased by another company. So I had a 401k with my original company, and now they're asking, do I want to roll it over? But I started a new 401k with the new company, and the other one's just sitting there mm-hmm. with the old. But it's still labeled, I guess, a 401k.
That's correct.
But if I roll it over, does it turn into an IRA? And don't you get certain advantages leaving it as a 401k?
You're
asking the right questions.
You're asking all the right questions. It's actually pretty good. How old are you?
I am 53.
If these dollars, let's say the old plan came to you and you had to make the investment decisions on those, would that be something you would look forward to, or would that be an additional burden in your life?
I can make those decisions. I consider myself somewhat savvy, being able to be an investor and choose and pick and understand the industry. But I guess my main concern is I think there's certain advantages you get leaving it as a 401k and not rolling it over into an IRA.
Yeah, there's a couple, but there's one big. So before we answer that question, because you're on the right track, do you have an existing IRA now?
Yes.
And where is that existing IRA invested? Like in what mutual
funds? It's 100% invested in a stock that I'm particularly fond of. I'm not your traditional diversified and all that I think we typically lean towards. I think I'm a little different than the rest.
Okay. Well, that helps us.
Yes. Then I would not recommend rolling into an IRA.
I would recommend that you roll it into your existing 401k. So here's
we'll
why.
Back up here.
Here's why you. The 401k is if you separate from service prior to the age 59 and a half, then.
But after age 55.
Then after you turn age 55 in the year in which you separate from service, you can pull money out of that 401k without penalty. You'll have to pay taxes on it, both state and federal, depending upon the state you live in. But there is no taxes due on, there's no penalties due on that. So that's the benefit of leaving it in the 401k.
The 401k pre-screened options. These days
are
pretty typically good, decent funds with low costs.
Yeah, and there used to be a benefit of the IRA was open to creditors, but the 401k was not, which is what you may have been thinking about, but that doesn't apply anymore.
And what about the vesting? I become
vested immediately.
6 years.
Nope.
Oh, it happens to me because they were purchased. Okay, so I'm vested.
Well, because you're moving the money in, so it doesn't exactly matter what the old plan did because these are your dollars.
You're always vested on your dollars.
You're always vested on your dollars. What you're not vested on is employer match dollars. And those take place over.
So should I just leave it for another year?
They accelerated.
I would imagine
that was
all accelerated when the company purchased a change of control.
Yeah, they would have accelerated the vesting on that.
Okay.
So easy enough.
I'm surprised that the new employer didn't make it simple for that just to be transferred in there.
Well, they did, and I can transfer. So it's invested with one institution, and then I started a 401k, I guess I started slightly different. I did a Roth with the new company that owns this. So I started a brand new 401k Roth, and the old one's a typical 401k.
Yeah.
But I thought that it would just be advantageous to just leave it over there, and it's still labeled.
It's 6-1, half a dozen.
401k.
It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. I mean, normally we recommend.
If I rolled it over, wouldn't it then become an IRA?
No. You can roll it into a 401k. You can roll it to an IRA if you want, or you could roll it into a 401k. But in your situation, for ease and simplicity, I would roll it over to the new company's 401k.
Yeah. Just for ease and simplicity.
That's all. The reason I would do it is to roll it over
just
to the new company, just to make life easier. But if you didn't do it, if you said, Pat, I don't feel like it, I'd say, it's probably not going to make any difference.
As long as it's invested properly.
That's correct. It's the same question my little sister, who's approximately your age, asked me this last week. She said, Patrick, you're the best older brother a person could ever ask for. Oh, and by the way, I've got these old 401ks that are laying around. What should I do with them? Well, in her situation, I said, we'll just roll them over into an IRA and I'll manage those dollars for you. Your existing 401k will stay where it's at. But you could get one of, you have all three of those options. Roll to an IRA. We don't want you to do that because we don't want you to buy any more of that single issue stock that you have already. I don't care how well you've done on it. I don't care if you've 10 times your money. You could leave it in your existing 401k.
Well.
Well, that is awesome. That's great. And the but for ease, take it from your old 401k, move it to your new 401k, and put it in a diversified portfolio, and just thank your lucky stars you were smart enough to buy that individual issued stock that you've done well on. Remember, don't be afraid to take profits on that stock as you go along, or at a minimum, collar it. Yeah, collar it. Oh, absolutely.
Well, just to make sure that if that thing blew apart, you still had plenty of financial assets, so it's not going to impact.
That's correct.
And that's the real key on it.
Oh, yeah.
And clearly,
I've got lots of other investments
okay,
and whatnot. So,
well, then you are diversified.
I am diversified in the sense that I've got stock investments and stocks that I like. I've got real estate investments. I've got 401ks,
beautiful.
IRAs. I'm kind of
you're perfect.
Susan,
you sound like you're doing great. We wish you well. This is Hanson McLean. We'll be right back.
Part of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-242-6766.
That's right. Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. Oh, you know what, Scott? I'm going to throw it out there.
What you
call, get on the show. We're going to send you a copy of Scott's free. We're going to send you a free copy of Scott's book.
There it is.
You
right
threw
there.
It out there. Just right there. I haven't talked to anyone in the marketing department or anything. Just,
they're going
to
be happy about that.
I know. I was thinking about that.
I just great my work
shaking people. Their heads.
It reminds me, I was in a meeting with Pat years ago in a conference room. And Pat says, well, promises have been made. My work here is done. And he gets up and leaves. The team will pick up and run with whatever that was discussed.
That's the beautiful thing about teams.
The teams. I you know what? So I'm going to do it real quick because I had one of the best weekends last weekend. My daughter,
who's 21?
And she's 21. We started doing the radio program. I was pregnant with her. That's how long ago we've been doing this radio program. And she's 21. She's a junior in college, this little school outside of Portland, Oregon, and plays lacrosse there. And I went up and watched their last two lacrosse games. Of course, it rained.
Did it? It
always
in Portland?
It's always
strange.
Terrible weather out there. But it was just one of those times when she's like growing up, had dinner with her boyfriend.
She has a boyfriend?
Yeah. For
really?
A few months now. Yeah.
You like the guy? You like him?
I do. He seems like a great guy, actually.
Well, that's exciting.
He does like competition snowboarding.
Is that right? Is just he a like college student as well? Or
double backflips and all that stuff.
Is he a college student as well?
Yeah. College student.
Living in a van down by the river? No.
Living in a van by the river. It's a nice van, though.
Well, that's nice. That was nice. And your kid's growing up and hopefully getting off the dole at some point in time?
She's talking about grad school now, but...
Of course, wouldn't you? You're like a Hanson household there. Got a little bit of this...
She's managed the 529 is going to hit about zero about the time she's done next year.
Yeah.
I did plan that stuff quite well. Of course, I am a financial advisor.
Yeah, well, I would hope so. The Converse kids should not go barefoot, regardless of.
Anyway.
Would you like to join the show? It's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-242-6766. So if you'd like to join the show, you're going to get a copy of Scott's free book.
A free copy of Scott. It's not a free book.
It's
only free to
it's
you.
It's a free copy of Scott's book. What's it called? Your book. What's the name of it?
You're the one promoting it and offering free copies.
Personal decision points.
Your ideal.
7 steps to the perfect retirement. Something along that line. You'll love it.
Yes.
It's great. I read it. I read the book.
It's called
Personal Decision Point.
It's a novel.
All right, we're going to go to the calls. We're going to talk to Debbie in Denver, Colorado. Thank you for joining us, Debbie.
Hi, how
Hi,
are
Debbie.
You?
Wonderful.
What
Great.
Can we do for you?
Actually, I have a question. I have inherited the remaining funds in an annuity and also will receive half of the sale of the house of my mother, who is deceased, just passed away. There's just my brother and I. And we were wondering, my husband and I were wondering what type of tax we might have to pay on this and if there's a way we can reinvest it to where we wouldn't have to have the taxes or, you know, I don't know if you can help us or not.
Yeah. We can certainly give you some direction on this. Let's start with the annuity.
Okay.
In the annuity, What is the value of the annuity today?
The annuity was $110,000.
And do you know if that annuity was inside or outside of an IRA?
It was outside of an IRA. She took a yearly payout on that. It was just a straight annuity. I don't believe she paid any taxes on it.
Do you know how much she contributed to that annuity?
Actually, I believe she started at $30,000, and then it grew from there.
And are you the sole beneficiary on the annuity? You mentioned a
50%.
A brother. No. You're 50%.
Yes, my older brother, which is actually the executor of the will.
So,
and he would probably know more about it than I do because they have access to everything, which I do not have a whole lot of access to.
You have good communication with your brother?
Yes, we do.
Okay, that's good.
So most of that annuity is going to be taxable
to
you. So
annuities, they're pitched that they're great because they're tax deferred. What people don't talk about is they're horrible assets to leave when you pass away because all that gain that's built up, which would have been forgiven in a lot of other type of investments, is not forgiven. And it's that even though it's a capital gain, it's the capital's gain over time, it's taxed as ordinary income. So if you,
But she put in 30, but your mother had already started taking income from that.
But it doesn't matter because the way it's designed, it's last in, first out, accounting on it. So,
no, she annuitized it, it sounds like.
No, the value is $110,000.
Well, we did cash it. My brother-in-law received a check. We received the paperwork from them, but we've not done anything with it yet.
So based upon the information you're sharing with us, you'll receive $55,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
And of that, $40,000 will be taxable.
It will be.
Okay. Yes. So.
And that's not an inheritance tax either. Right?
No, that is correct.
Income tax. Okay. There won't
ordinary,
and there won't be an estate tax. On
what
this.
You can do on this, Debbie, is you can choose to have it paid out to you over a couple year period.
Okay.
It should be an option there, maybe a 3 year period or a 5 year period. And it would really depend upon your other income, whether it makes sense or not.
Okay.
I would strongly suggest that you talk with a tax preparer on this before you do anything. Or if you're savvy with that, you can do some what-if scenarios on TurboTax.
What is your income, your family income now, that both you and your spouse?
Our family income right now, my husband is actually 65. I am 64, and it was about $160,000 last year.
Okay. You're going to need to do a little bit.
You'd want to plan on this.
You would do a little planning around
this. Now, the home, though.
You might want to take it out over a 3 or 5 year period.
Yeah. Just reduce the taxes on it. Because you add this on top.
No, the annuity.
You add this on top, and you can start losing your personal exemptions because of the income rate you're at. You might even have it over a 5 year period.
Yeah. You could take it over a 3 or 5 or 10 year period, but you most certainly want to spend the time and the energy looking at it.
I think five is the longest you could do on a non-spousal annuity.
You might be right.
And then as far as the house, there should be no income taxes on this. The only tax there could be is the date from the change in value from the date your mother passed away to what it was sold for.
And normally there's nothing.
Negligible.
Oh, okay. So no matter, even though it's free and clear.
It doesn't make any difference.
It's going to be split between my brother and myself.
Yep.
Unless it was set up in some irrevocable trust years ago, which would be highly unlikely.
No, there wasn't. So, I need to.
Tax-free. Full step up in basis comes to you completely tax-free.
For tax purposes, when you inherit it, the value for tax purposes, your cost basis is equal to the fair market value on the day your mother passed away.
All right, now say that in English.
I was trying to. It's just like whatever it was worth the day your mom passed away. It's just like that's what you paid for.
That's what you paid for it, and there's no gain that needs to be paid.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect.
And so the next step is, what do you do with the proceeds from that? We would encourage you to look at any of your own debts. So if you owe any money on any cars, credit cards, or houses, do you owe anything on those?
Well, we do. We both plan on retiring within the next year or two, but we plan on having everything paid off. We do owe a little bit on our house, about $60,000 on the house.
I'd use this to pay that off.
I would as well.
Yes. We plan on having that paid off. There's no credit card debt. There is a truck debt, but we plan on having all of that paid when we do retire.
Yeah. So one of the things I would look at is to see if you should maximize, put any more money into your company savings plans. And then use the
for
proceeds
this year, for next.
And for this year and next, and then use the proceeds from this inheritance to pay down that debt. Remember this, okay, that what you inherited is separate property, which means it's you and yours alone. It's not commingled. So if you and your husband ever separated, that would be considered your property as long as you keep it separate. Once you commingle it, it changes the equation a little bit. So remember that he didn't inherit the money. You did.
Okay.
All right. So, but I'm not going to jump into the middle of that because I have seen couples fight over that.
I plan to split. So,
you plan to put it in with him, to toss it in with the.
Well,
around him.
Actually, what we plan to do is try to reinvest it and maybe leave our children something.
I would look at paying down debt and then seeing if I had any room in my company savings plans to actually increase that
for tax purposes. You're in high tax bracket right now.
Alrighty.
Okay, yeah, we're in a high-tech bracket now. So, well, thank you very much.
All right, good luck, Debbie. Sorry about your mother, too.
Bye.
All right, thanks so much. Well, for our guest today for Hanson McLean's Money Matters, we'd like to welcome Jane Wells. Jane, of course, is a veteran reporter for CNBC, and she did a recent story, an investigative story on retirement, and really how people, while they're retiring, they're doing some other kinds of work and during retirement. And she had some interesting stories, so we thought we'd have Jane on the air today on our program. So, Jane, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We couldn't be better. Could not be better. So, you wrote this interesting story recently, and you've written a number of articles on retirement and done some stuff for CNBC on that. But there was one interesting recently that was a link on our website for our listeners that can go to that looked at how people are doing some unique kind of jobs in retirement. And I was kind of curious, what was some of your takeaways personally as you went through this journey of interviewing these people?
Well, what I discovered is what I think we all know is we're living longer and we're healthier. And so the new retirement is not really retiring. Now, some people retire, unfortunately, not by their own choice.
Yes.
They're let go through downsizing or whatever. But a lot of people in this survey done by the Employment Benefit Research Institute are retiring early voluntarily. And then what they discover is they don't just want to sit around because they're still active. So they're out doing things. And I interviewed a few people about this who are doing some interesting things. For example, a couple of guys who've been retired for a long time who decided, you know what, I live in L.A., maybe I'll become an actor. And, you know, there's a 77-year-old guy who now gets bit parts in movies and that sort of thing. Or a woman we spoke with who, after she discovered at age, I think, 58 that she had breast cancer, started thinking, you know, life's too short. So she retired at 62, really downsized, and now travels the world house sitting and pet sitting all over the world for free. She gets these free places to stay as long as she walks the dog.
Now, I saw it. I saw you. I saw there was not only a written interview, but that you actually filmed her. Interviewed her. I thought that was actually pretty fascinating.
How does she wind up this gig? Because I pay the neighbor kid money when he house sits for me.
But Scott, she really downsized. I mean, she downsized to the point that when she's not in a house, she's living in a friend's spare bedroom in Chicago. Talk a little bit about that.
What I think is fascinating is this is a time in life that actually all of our lives we really have some control over.
You get to write your own story.
Correct.
I tell my children who are in college and high school now, it's your story to write. You write the story. But then when you think about these retirees, it's their story. It's the third chapter of their story.
That's right.
Right. I think there's an interesting difference, too, which I'm sure you two know, that these millennials now sort of work to live, whereas maybe more of our generation, we live to work. And now in retirement, a lot of people are saying, wow, I wish I'd done this at 25, what I'm doing now, you know, which of course the kids at 25 may have financial implications later for that. But in any case, this woman is Sherry Goodlow. She worked as a supervisor at AAA for most of her career. And again, after she had cancer, she started rethinking, okay, if I look at my 401k, I look at my pension, I look at my savings, what are my expenses? I really want to travel and see the world. How do I make it work? She's divorced. Her kids are grown. So she really could do whatever the heck she wanted. So she sold her car. She got out of a lease in her condo. She downsized everything, and she had a good friend in Chicago who said, look, you know, I got a spare bedroom in my townhome. You can make it home base first she took a train trip across the country and she said, wow, I really like traveling. How do I make this work? She found this company called TrustedHouseSitters.com.
TrustedHouseSitters.com.
Yeah, they're UK based. And basically you try to like on Airbnb, you sort of have to create a profile if you want to let your place be a house sitter there, and you have to create a profile for yourself being a trusted house sitter. So she had to sort of go through a few things, get people to write recommendations. And she's been like to the Canary Islands, London, Italy. She has to pay her way there. But once she's there, she stays for free. You get a free house sitter. Sometimes people throw in the car. She says it's better when they only have a cat because you don't have to go walk the cat. And sometimes there's no pet at all.
They just sit in the house.
You go out and about. We ran into her in Dallas where she was house sitting. She said, you know, I've never been to Dallas before. Oh, I'll go house sit there. She was taking care of this little dog. She goes out and walks the dog early in the morning. Then she goes sightseeing all day, comes back, walks the dog at night. Boom, done.
Wow. How about some other, just, you know, I also see stories. The average young retiree, those under age 75, watch 4 hours of television a day, right? So you interviewed some people that are taking some ownership of their life and making some decisions and living. And unfortunately, a lot of retirees, they don't quite know what to do. And they end up...
Yeah, they have a big day
to
fill.
The world gets smaller and smaller every year.
And the days are longer and longer.
So tell us about some other people you'd interviewed in this story you were doing.
Well, let me talk about the two guys I interviewed at Central Casting. Yes, in Burbank, there really is a place called Central Casting, and it has been there for decades. So one is Abe Rogland, and he's 67. And the other is Walt Krakowicki, and he is 77. So let me talk about Walt first. He retired 17 years ago at age 60. He was an executive. He was the head of food catering services at Universal Studios. Had enough. He and his wife decided, gosh, you know, we want to travel. Retires at 60. For 5 years, they have a blast traveling, all this. Then he got bored. He got bored. He's feeling good. I know, again, I get it from my father too, this sort of Protestant work ethic or whatever. Like, if you're not earning an income, who are you really? Yeah, you know, that sort of thing. No.
Gee, I don't know that record.
Yeah. So he thought, I want to go do something, but I don't want to just volunteer. Great to volunteer, but I need to what do you do?
Yeah.
Well, I occasionally do some acting. So he started getting bit roles. His biggest role was in the movie Bad Teacher with Cameron Diaz. He played the dirty old man next door where he kind of leers at her and she washes his car. So he got paid $650 for that, but it was actually his Cadillac she's washing. They paid him $35 for the car, to use the car. She washes it, and he told me I didn't wash that car for 2 months.
Yeah, I've had Cameron Diaz wash my car before.
Yeah, right. So he's one end, okay? He's a guy who's like...
Obviously not doing it for the fun.
Yeah. Doing it for the fun, right?
New chapter
now,
in life.
Now, Abe Rogland, the 67-year-old, a little bit different, always had the acting bug, but couldn't make it as a living. So he started his own tour logistics company in Los Angeles. He helped the cruise lines and all provide buses, that sort of thing. Well, that went belly up after the financial crisis. So he needed to start making a little money here and there. And he is doing quite a bit of commercial work. He was a CIA agent in Argo, that sort of thing. He says while he does it to keep busy, he sees a lot of people in his age group on the set who are doing it because they really do need the money. I mean, they've already cashed out their IRAs. Social Security's not cutting it. So they're doing it for the money.
That they have an actual need. It doesn't mean that they very well may enjoy it, so it's got a positive impact. But it's not unusual for when I'm traveling, I use either Lyft or Uber. I'm actually more prone to Lyft due to some of the things that have taken place at Uber. But because culturally, it aligns better with my thinking. But I'm always amazed at the number of retirees that are actually driving. And whether you'd get the whole story or not the whole story, the story normally is, I just need to get out of the house for 4 hours a day.
Get away from my wife. No.
Well, that's actually, you know what? Isn't that funny? It's because
if I'm on vacation for a while, my wife needs a break from me. I know that.
Oh, there's
more than I need a break from her, frankly.
I think that's fair.
yeah, part of the adjustment in retirement is getting to know each other again and being around each other all the time. And I do think, yeah, getting a break is can be a healthy thing. But you're right. I run into these Uber drivers all the time who are over, you know, 65 or even 70, but they can still drive. And they're doing it partly for the money. You're not going to make much money in Uber, but a lot to get out because they're sociable. They miss part of work is socializing. And I have to say, I'm now it's sort of an odd situation. I last fall went sort of semi-retired. I'm a special correspondent under contract at CNBC because I wanted to try in my mid-50s to see if there's a second act. Like I'm filling in on talk radio in LA. Maybe I'm going to start a podcast.
So I wondered what it was because I noticed you were what's your current title? It's changed, right?
Special correspondent.
Yes, I didn't know what special correspondent was.
What makes you so special?
They don't have to pay me full time. That's what makes me special.
Oh, I want a special title.
So tell us about this journey. This is interesting here. So mid-50s, been working your tail off, obviously. Now you just decide to go part-time and kind of half retire, half work.
Yeah, how's it going? Tell us where you're at.
It's great. I will say we haven't felt any financial tension yet because of it. You know, we're empty nesters now. The kids are on their own. They're off the payroll. And we could afford to live on one paycheck, my husband. And I thought, you know, I remember Ray Kroc was 52, you know, and I read something somewhere that the biggest second act is at 56. And I thought, well, if I'm ever going to try something different, I got to try it now while I still have a 5 ahead of my age. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I talked them into a part-time deal, and it's a great part-time deal, which allows me to do just about anything else except show up on television somewhere else. Like I can't show up on Fox Business or something like that. That would be a big no-no. So I've
actually not many people are showing up on Fox Business anymore.
there you go. Plus I like to wear pants and that would not be that sound upon over there. So, I have had a blast. I have found as many people who do this journey discover, how did you ever get anything done when you were working full time? I'm so busy. And while I'm not making as much money, I'm so much happier and energized and, just positive looking forward. So, and again, not feeling the financial tension yet. Of course, could have been putting a lot more money in that 401k, but we started an S corp and I discovered the tax advantages of that and trying to find the sweet spot between paying myself a salary so that I have to minimize the income taxes and you know, Social Security and all that, while maximizing what can be put in sort of a retirement form.
Yeah, like
a
self-directed 401k.
Tax write-downs.
But I'm finding Jane's story. Jane, your story's I'm finding more interesting.
Jane, the reality is that people that change jobs in their 50s have a tendency to work a lot longer into their age 60s and early 70s than people that don't. Because they make the change for your reasons.
More businesses are started by people like you today than people in their 20s. Although we read about all the entrepreneurship and all this. It's people like yourself.
Exactly. And they're businesses like yourself, which are independent businesses that allow for a lifestyle and something. No one's coming into you and telling you you have to write an article on, you know, why the Swallows return to Capistrano again this year.
Right. I mean, as I keep telling my husband, I'm making less money, but I'm doing what I want to do. And I think somewhere in his brain that is starting to sink in that because his concern was you're going to walk away. You're going to make half what you made before and you're going to work twice as hard, 3 times. And I'm never going to see you. And I said, no, you'll see me more, which he does. And I'll be happier. And so I think, you know, as he sees financially we're fine and that I am happier, he's starting to come around. He's still
when does he get his turn? Or does he absolutely love his job and feel that he's got all the freedom he wants or?
Oh, well, he's a corporate pilot. He flies for a high net worth individual.
Yeah.
So he's got a great job with some freedom. But no, he's totally the opposite of me. Like he could not have a job tomorrow. And as long as the money was there, and he could golf, he would have no, there's no.
Well, he's got a pretty good job for that. I mean, he's got, I know a number of corporate pilots. Yeah, I know. They get pretty sweet jobs. They normally go to nice places. And if they're the person that runs the plane is a athlete at all, they typically get to participate.
Will your own retirement be delayed as a result of you doing this career change in mid-50s?
I think what I'm living right now is my retirement until somebody stops paying me. You know, I mean, I think I am kind of living what I want to live until I don't feel like it anymore. He's fine. I mean, like I said, he totally works to live. I have most of my life lived to work, and I'm now trying to find some balance.
Good for you.
This is really cool.
Very fascinating. Can we have you on again?
Oh, anytime, guys. This is fun. You guys are great. By the way, did that guy who win the Powerball, was that real?
It was real. It was real. We did some research after that.
Looking at each other's studio thing.
We're thinking this guy's messing with us. But it was a guy out of the Midwest that won some sort of national.
Was he the Indiana guy?
Yeah, he was.
That was a tape show.
Like, is this real?
That was a tape show, and it was real, and hopefully takes our advice, which is to make it as simple as possible, because you see people like that. We see lottery winners or people that have come into what we call sudden wealth.
They
have a tendency to make terrible decisions, and they
he's got the young wife.
He does have the young wife.
Well, it's already overcomplicated.
I mean that's already an issue.
Hey, thank you. We've been with Jane Wells. She's a special correspondent with CNBC and creating her own life and her own future. So, Jane, we're looking forward to seeing what your future becomes. So this is kind of cool.
Okay, great.
Like what you're doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to be in Hanson McClain's Money Matters. Well, I'll tell you, we are almost out of time. It's been a great program today. And a couple of things. One, if you haven't been to our website in a while, we strongly encourage you to go there, HansonMcClain.com. We've revamped it.
It looks great. I think it looks great.
Yeah, not only does it look great, I think there's a lot of great information on there. And if you don't receive our newsletter, we send a newsletter out every Friday afternoon that's got great information. It's got some video clips on it typically, and I just think it's very valuable. You can get that on our website. Go to HansonMcClain.com, sign up for the newsletter. And, of course, our workshops are coming up the week of May 8th in Sacramento, the week of May 15th in Denver and the Bay Area. You can sign up for those at HansonMcClain.com. We're out of time. See you next week. This has been Hanson McClain.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McClain Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.